and the nature of the business over the years.
Yeah, well, I was saying that we my categories were recent information, less than a year old, published but recent, and then past information. And we had some other stuff that people asked me about, how to set up personal files and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as kinds of information, and I was doing it temporally, not by subject, because I felt that was a practical approach. There were subject guides all over the place, and that's what the first chapter was about.
Mm-hmm.
Where to go when you don't know where to go. But then I found more and more that these things were becoming intertwined. For instance, and also computerized. For instance, you could start out with an SDI system, which would be current information, and just keep it going, and it would become a retrospective
mm-hmm.
retrieval device. You use the same techniques,
mm-hmm.
and you could build up that way. So that was a new development,
mm-hmm.
starting with current. It makes sense. And then then you had these online databases all of a sudden. And they, which you subscribed to, you bought into, and that was a switch. So you had, and some of them were based on originally an SDI system, which is allowed to age.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them were based on just current indexing and abstracting. And so that was another way of doing retrospective searches. And that was a change.
Mm-hmm.
And now, of course, how do you get access to these things? Used to be, you used a modem. You were online with the thing. Now, of course, the internet's on the internet, probably. And which poses a terrific control problem.
Yeah.
But that's changed everything.
How did the online business, the development of online services, affect your business?
I guess we did searches for a long time using everybody's.
Uh-huh.
And that was fine. And eventually, I think what's happened is that more and more people, because of what's the matter with me? AOL, is it?
Mm-hmm. Or CompuServe.
Or CompuServe, that's what that was. One of them, or Lexis.
Mm-hmm.
More of them, more people started doing their own searching at their desks from their terminals.
Mm-hmm.
So when we run these clearing houses, we don't get too many requests from people who have any knowledge. It's usually the man on the street.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or it could be the physician on the street.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh. But they're comparatively unsophisticated nowadays.
Yeah.
People are coy.
Now, was your advent, the company's advent into online doing the NASA recon contract, Or was that just strictly the production of Star?
No, we did all the intellectual input that went into all those systems. We did all the abstracting and indexing.
Oh, you did. Okay. So you ran the processing center.
Processing center. Mainly, and we were allowed to use author abstracts if there was, but we had to exercise judgment. But we did all the intellectual stuff. Now, Mel was not connected with it at the time.
He was gone by then.
He was gone. Yeah. He was at the National Library of Medicine or somewhere. He stopped briefly at the National Science Foundation, then went on to the National Library of Medicine. And we didn't have much to do with him at that time. And then he retired and turned up. First he went to work for, who the hell?
Information Technology Group.
Yeah. I remember he used to tell me it was owned by some outfit in Holland.
Yeah, I think so, right, big company.
I remember the word Borgermeister in there. And then he came and joined us. Why, I wasn't sure. Because he was in the process of retiring, but he had also had gotten divorced and remarried.
Oh, is that right?
And apparently it was a, what is the word? Not affable or...
Oh, not a happy situation, huh?
No. He married somebody from NTIS, lady in charge of procurement. I had heard about this, but his former wife shocked it to him.
Oh, wow. We did not get into that at all.
Well, that's how he happened to come to me, because he needed to work. I remember his telling me he's going to work for the rest of his life.
To pay divorce proceedings, huh? That's too bad.
Alimony or whatever he's paying. But anyway, that was the circumstance. I'm sorry I raised it as a matter of fact.
Well, that's all right. Now, did King Research compete directly with you?
A little bit.
Because you were doing studies and they were doing studies.
Yeah. Their emphasis was much more statistical than ours. They were much more interested in experimental design. He's a pretty fancy statistician. Which is funny because he got into all kinds of other things which he's not good at. But
He got into surveys big time too, which was your principal thing.
Yeah. We always hooked up together, but then that fell through.
Oh, yeah? When was this?
Around maybe 1970.
This is about the time he left West End, huh?
Just about.
In your company, what's the largest number of people, and at what time was that the case? Is it today, or was it some other time?
Wow. We were up to about 120 at one point.
These are including the people in your that you were subcontracting to in the information clearinghouses?
No, not including the subcontract. Individual analysts.
That you were on your staff?
Well, we had, for instance, we had, as of a couple of years ago, 53 indexers indexing for us for NLM. And then we had another 20 or 30 on various other projects.
And a pretty big office staff all this time?
Yeah.
Who was running the day-to-day office thing? Were you doing this, or were you with your wife?
Ed Kelly, who... he was my executive vice president.
Now, what role was your wife playing in all this?
She retired as of retired from day to day, and was working at home. Her preference, doing abstracting, indexing. She did this. No, she would take care of corporate matters a couple of days a week, and the rest of the time she was at home,
mm-hmm.
doing abstracting, mm-hmm. indexing, translating, whatever mm-hmm. she wanted to do,
mm-hmm.
and she was very happy doing that.
Yeah, well, she was good at it too, apparently, and with all those languages she could handle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, what point since 55 did you ever say, okay, I'm solidly established, I'm not afraid? Did there come a time in which you said, I know this company is going to make it?
I thought around 1970
so it took 15 years before you felt really secure.
Yep.
Hmm. And that's because of the going from contract to contract? Hmm. Well, that's a long time to go with uncertainty.
Well, other people are smarter or more certain than I am.
Well, it's probably best not to ever take your own company for granted, huh?
That's right.
Yeah. Hmm.
Well, my wife wouldn't let me anyway.
Oh, true enough. So you say Information Resources Press that you started in 70 has not been a happy experience.
I would say not.
Yeah. What about EIS, the EIS Digest? That's another publishing venture, right?
That was great fun, but it's handled all wrong. It's still in existence.
Uh-huh.
I ended up selling it to Cambridge Science Abstract.
Oh, you did. Okay, I had missed that.
Which is a part of. Originally, they had that Disclosure Inc.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was the same outfit.
Yeah. Mm.
That was a nice publication, as a matter of fact, very useful. Except that the thing changed. They sort of de-emphasized environmental impact statements, not taking them as seriously as they used to.
Yeah. You seem to have been the central person around to look at those environmental impact statements and to say, here's a really rich information resource.
Yeah.
How did this idea strike you, and how did it work out?
It is a very information, a very important resource. How did it strike me? Somebody told me they exist, and I said, my God, you mean all this is documented? And nobody knows about it? The first thing I said is, gee, I bet a lot of government agencies are approving projects that have been done before, or are making decisions that have been made before,
mm-hmm.
and it would be nice to spread it out for them. And then people showed me, well, some publications are doing that. The Congressional, what the hell is it called?
EPA.
Yeah, well, EPA is a source. CEQ?
Congressional Quarterly?
No.
Or CIS?
No, there's a Council on Environmental Quality or something.
Oh, there is. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and they want to also oversee.
Mm-hmm.
And they, we went around, and it turns out that they get all of them, and they let us see them, have them for a while, so that we could go through them. And that's because we couldn't figure out how to get them.
Oh, huh.
And all of them have to go through that office before EPA gets them. So one of our customers was EPA.
Mm. So you got them and digested the information and indexed it, mm-hmm. and those kinds of things, mm-hmm. and then sold the product to whom?
To technical industrial firms, mm-hmm. to government agencies. One of our big customers was the Department of Agriculture. They sent one. They subscribed one for every region of their regions. Mm-hmm. Mm. And it was looked pretty good there for a while.
Yeah. So you were making money on it.
Then I got sick, and that sort of that clouded a lot of things that were happening because I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
And then my family decided that I gotta sell it. And I did, to my great regret.
Oh, really? Well, now, you're still very much involved in the day-to-day operation, well, not day-to-day so much, but the administrative end of the company, right?
Yep.
And you're still the sole owner
yep.
of the company.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And who's in charge now, and when you're not there, who reports to you?
A guy by the name of Cameron McRae. Hmm. I am in the process of appointing a new COO. Right now, we're...
This must be a difficult decision
to make.
Very
difficult.
Yeah. Huh.
We got a guy who's running a couple of our biggest projects. We just started. And he has many years of experience. Very good. What the hell is his name? His name is Fernando De Jesus Verige. The reason I'm Harigay with a J. And the reason I'm saying that, because I said Harigay, and he said no. Each syllable is equal. Harigay. I don't think it's possible. But anyway, he said terrific. I'm trying to pave the way for him. He has many years of experience in the operation of clearing houses and all the related matters. Mm. I look at him, I think maybe he's the CEO, COO. Mm. We'll see. Yeah. They end up that way.
Yeah. When did you first start feeling badly and have to drop out of real day-to-day operation?
Oh, God. I tell you what happened. I was limping badly for years, and they sent me to a neurologist, and the neurologist put me through a, what do you call it, MRI,
mm-hmm.
and they discovered that I have hemophilic. Had water on the brain, pressure.
Hydrocephalus,
exactly.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. So they put a shunt in, and that worked for a couple of years, and it just stopped working then. Mm. And then they think they have to, what they call, revise it.
Oh, really?
And everybody's busy debating over me. Should we give him drugs? Should we give him this? Should we give him that? And they put me on Parkinson's disease medicine.
Wow.
Purely speculative. I said it sometimes works on this kind of patient. But this has been going on for a good long time.
Hmm.
So... the sad part of it, it affects you sort of mentally. And then my wife came down with Alzheimer's.
How How long was she affected?
I would say about 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of gradual.
Yeah, yeah. My mother just died last December.
Oh, yeah.
With that problem. She was 87.
Mm-hmm.
But you could see it coming on very slowly, but they didn't diagnose it until really just maybe 6 or 9 months before she died.
Well, they pretty well had her diagnosed, but right to the end, she was very athletic. She was a big tennis player, walker, and so forth. And she would not hold still. I used to go, she was in this building with me, which is why I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to spend hours with her every day. And she would always take off on me. I used to have her up here and she would leave.
Oh, really?
And so they, finally what happened is she fell walking around and broke her hip.
Mm.
And they sent her over to the Fairfax Hospital, which is very suspicious, very the teaching hospital, they say. And they left her there at the end of 48 hours. They said she's got to leave, come back to a nursing home.
Mm.
And we were having big fights about that. Because she also had a history of, what do you call it? What's the expression? Irregular heartbeats.
Mm-hmm.
And she was at GW for a month for that, and they took care of it, got her out of it. But then, they put her in a nursing home. She was there for one day, and she went in ventriculation. Is that what
mm-hmm.
you call it?
Mm-hmm.
She went into a coma and died within a couple of days.
Mm.
And I claim that they shouldn't have moved her. They should have watched.
Yeah. Huh.
But go argue.
Yeah. Yeah. Tough. Huh. Let's talk about some professional aspects going back in time now. I gather you joined the American Chemical Society pretty early. Do you remember exactly when that was and then when you got involved with the Division of Chemical Literature?
I started with the Division of Chemical Literature.
In 43, 40, or was it that early?
No, it was not.
47, 48?
No, as a matter of fact, in the 50s.
I wasn't.
Let me see, I joined it in about 1950. And I didn't want to pay the full dues. And they said you could be an associate member, but then you'd only be a member of the Division of Chemical Literature. And I said, that's okay.
Hmm.
And then they decided you can't do that. You got to be a member or not a member.
Of ACS, huh?
So in 1950, as late as 1965, I became a full member. Mm. But I took the cheap route.
Yeah, yeah. So you weren't one of those folks getting your chem abstracts for the cheap price, huh?
Well, you got it if you registered for a meeting.
Yeah.
No, you mean for $19 or whatever.
Right, yeah, or 25.
Yeah, that was money. We were having a big debate. And the debate was about how can the American Chemical Society afford it? And the answer is they're getting grants from the government, you dopes, from the National Science Foundation. National Science Foundation is paying for this.
They got an awful lot of money. Mel Day said $15 million.
Oh,
over a period of years.
Sure. That was funny.
Principally starting with for the automation, but...
Theoretically.
Yeah. Now, were you following the early work that was being done by Perry and Kent and Barry and those folks on using punch cards for chemical literature searching?
No, as a matter of fact, I guess I was following it, but Garfield was in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was following him. And he was using a... he was the first one I saw who used, was it a 108?
The IBM 101.
101.
Mm-hmm.
Where you could do multiple column searches and
right.
correlations. And that interested me. This other stuff didn't interest me.
The punch, the edge notch cards and that kind of thing.
Bob Casey stuff.
Yeah.
I just didn't think it had it. It was too clumsy. But I was intrigued by the idea of the... 101 and their successor.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that to me was Garfield.
Well, Claire,
he introduced me to it.
Oh, he did. Yeah, because he was working, you all were both at Johns Hopkins. Now, you knew him before that 53 meeting, right?
Oh, yeah.
You all had met because you were right there close to each other anyway.
Oh, yeah, we were close collaborators.
Yeah.
And plotters and schemers.
What struck me was how long it took from the early 50s to the middle 60s before this handling of chemical information by computers was really nicely automated. What do you attribute this long delay to?
Mainly lack of imagination. People were in a rut. In other words, a lot of time goes into something. When you dedicate your years to using a 101 and that concept, or using even a more elementary machine, they tended to try to do everything by that device. Now, the idea of a unit card, which was the original idea, I'm trying to think, I've got several thoughts going here. As soon as people started thinking in terms, got away from the unit card and into inverted indexes, I think we started taking off where you dedicate, and as you have two sets of cards, one is the unit record, that's the library,
mm-hmm.
as
mm-hmm.
it were, and then you have the retrieval device, the retrieval machine. As soon as we started doing that, then we started
Let me stop there and switch tapes, but